This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half-time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
It's a goal! What a goal! It's absolutely world-class from Marcus Tunde!
Johnson puts it in the air! Aidan Flint wins the goal!
It's
the
goal! It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw him. Is it going to be there?
Yes! Yes!
Oh, my God!
The Wednesday Week!
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Week. My name's Dan Fudge, and tonight I'm joined by Stevie, Charlie, and former child, now turned current pundit, Blair Hardman.
Blair Hard Ankles.
Blair Hard Ankles. Good evening and welcome to the show. Tonight we're going to be talking about our win against Birmingham City. How long was that? That was 1 minute and 26, where most of it was the credits before I fucked it up. So that's done really well already. As you can see behind me, I'm sporting the new change strip for the new sponsor that I won. Now Wandisco has rebranded. We'll get into all that at some point, and yeah, let's talk about it. So Stevie, I'll come to you first. I mean, let's talk about the change of strip to start with, because that broke an hour before the kickoff or something like that. That was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, timing-wise, it was strange. It's the kind of thing you'd expect a kind of a press release or an announcement. And in no way, shape, or form, as we begin this podcast, am I being put off by Blair's pussy.
Great,
he's just put away.
He's a Tomcat.
Anyway, where were we?
Brilliant. And now Blair's cut out. So right.
And now he's gone. Right. We'll go again.
Everything in the bottom left. Let's just start again.
It's the kind of thing you'd expect a press release to come out, and not an hour before the kickoff. So I think the fact that it kind of drip fed through, that eventually it became a thing where it was Wandisco that had been rebranded, and there was all the stink, if you like, of the whole A up that we kind of touched on. We talked about closed season. You can't get away from the fact that it's a little bit iffy, and you kind of wonder what's going on there. But at the same time, I think I said on the chat that when it was released, before I realised who it was, if it's a kind of a revenue stream, or it's whatever it is that's going on, and it puts a little bit more money into the club, even if it's just a short-term fix, then we've got to be all for it, haven't we?
Well, this is it. This is the bit I couldn't work out, Charlie. Like, do you feel like we're going to get a bump or something like that? So essentially what's happened is Wandisco were the parent company of A-Up, something that absolutely makes my toes curls to say out loud. Mm-hmm. And Wandisco have rebranded. The guy in charge of the company is called Dave Richards, not that one. And with him being a Wednesday fan, I feel like everybody's going to make that leap. But I can't. It just looks shit, doesn't it?
It does look shit. And I think it's not, in of itself, it's not that weird to get a new sponsor. It's the sudden announcement, like, almost like just before a game, and the fact that it's like, you can get your shirts changed. I mean, you might see the old sponsor through it, and you think, yeah, we know that because we can fucking see how shit they look now. Like, it's very obvious. It's very obvious you'd not even got them printed for the players before they'd even gone out, and you think it almost screams of, like, I don't know, like, clearly some kind of agreement had been made that by that match, like, by Birmingham, we should have had the new sponsor on. And it was like, shit, something, like, not done. Because otherwise, why would you do it then? Like, it really doesn't make sense. And, like, I mean, I'm glad to see the back of A up, because it screamed of, like, yeah, like something off a sitcom of Northern footballers, you know, like, yes. Oh, that's what their sponsor would be. Like, some really cringe, yeah, like, Northerners written by Southerners kind of vibe to it. But I think my biggest complaint about how it looks is it looks exactly like the shirt behind you. It literally looks like a piece of A4 paper that's just been put on top of them. So that makes it dodgy. It's not that dodgy to get a new sponsor. The weird, sneaky, shit Tipex way it's been done is very, like,
it's weird, why? Isn't it?
Why?
But I must admit, Charlie, I was the same as you. I felt like it perpetuated stereotypes, A-Up. I hated the flat cap. I hated the name of the company. And for me, it perpetuated that stereotype that you get when you see Northern people portrayed in movies or especially in theatre. Like, oh, we're just so poor, aren't we? We couldn't afford... Good Ford call, hot fire.
Had to eat me whip it. Oh, it were ever so sad. It's just like, oh, God, cringe. Yeah, it's
in
really
it.
Cringe.
In
oh,
it.
There's a cat.
There's a cat. Blair, what? It's really distracting here, bro. We've been on 5 minutes.
Honestly,
we've had two locations. Honestly. We've had two cats. We've had a background change. What the fuck are you doing? And you're on mute.
And you work in IT.
Christ almighty. Hang
He's
on.
A celebrity That's, now. It's too big.
The cat decided to knock over a can of beer all over my little dock. So it's all a bit Pete Tong.
What
it's
a day.
It's all because Stevie offended it by calling it a girl. He's clearly a boy.
It's clearly... Right, is that where it is? Right, so listen, as usual, we've got some comments coming through. So, you know, we've got a few people wishing us good evening. Good evening, Sharman. Good evening, Nat. Good evening, Finn, who's decided to put Charlie's cream egg comments aside after last week and tune in tonight. I can't believe...
It's big of you. Big of you.
Yeah, the last 10 minutes of last week's show was absolute pandemonium talking about chocolate snacks. And for some reason, that's the one that seems to have carried us through the last week in terms of what we've been talking about. And then on top of that, Shannon went with, I want to watch a mate eat a battered cream egg. It was one of the most disgusting scenes I've ever witnessed. she's well in your camp there, Charlie. Glenn's been on, says, you know, all the best for the rest of the season. And Mr. J, probably referencing Blair, said unprofessional as usual. And then, in reference to A-Up and its and the flat cap was, all that's missing was a pigeon and a ferret, which I can't disagree with. Like, I really hated it. Like I find that, there's a, I'm sorry, I've just seen what you're laughing at, Steve. I'll just get, you know what, I'm gonna stop sentence right there, because I'm just going to meander on the same point. But Sharman's come out with one of the greatest comments we've had in a while in reference to Blair's fuckery at the start and gone with the Blair Glitch Project. So, you know, comment of the night is already on. So that's night. And evening to Aisha, who's been watching his show for like 14 seasons, bless her. Right then, so let's crack on. Let's talk about it before someone's dog kicks off. Stevie, let's talk about the lineup. Let's talk about Birmingham City. Let's get into it. This is the lineup. We've got Beadle in goal, Valentin Bernard for Maywo Johnson, Diaby playing DMC or defensive midfielder, and Ugbo Poveda, Bannon and Gassama Kadamachi. That might not have been the way we've lined up. That's how BBC Sport have had it. I mean, did you feel like we were going for it?
I don't think that was the way we lined up necessarily. It was more of a it was almost like a 4-4-2, wasn't it? With Poveda and Gassama right and left, with Bannon and Diaby holding a little bit deeper. And then, I don't know, Ugbo certainly didn't seem to be playing wide right for me. It was almost like he was playing, there was a rotation between him and Kadamatri as a, you know, interchanging between the 9 and the 10 there. After Huddersfield last week, I don't think there's anything that anybody would have complained about in terms of the lineup. It was that abject, and I know that we we sort of folded like a deck of cards, didn't we, in that 12-minute period. And it's just from there, it was almost a low point of the season. So whatever he put out there on Saturday, I'm still loath to say it was a must-win game, but the starting 11, I again didn't really have any sort of complaints about what he put out there. I was just whoever it was that was wearing the shirt, I wanted to see a performance out of them. I wanted to see a little bit of heart, a little bit of fight, a little bit of a battle, and you know, just that old cliche almost of giving 110 for the shirt. Team lineup, no arguments whatsoever.
No, absolutely. And then Charlie, we saw a return to the team for Beadle. You know, we got a somewhat better performance out of him. Could you see it changing at all, or did you feel like Beadle was always going to be the number one?
I didn't see it changing, and I have to be honest. Like I think I said it was last week. Like, you know, fair enough, I was judging him on very little, but I hadn't really seen anything that made me think that he was something a bit special. But I've got to be honest. Like, I thought he was absolutely great on Friday. I think we finally started to see like what he really might offer, and so I think obviously if Dawson is injured, it kind of answers that anyway a little bit. But then you've always got the thing with Charles, like he's been looking a bit sharp, and I can see him being really reliable for things like cup games and stuff like that. He's a good second, but I think Beadle proved on Friday that he every bit deserves to have that, to be our first choice keeper there. So yeah, really good to see.
Yeah, really does. Now, Blair, in the middle of the part there, I think Stevie's right. I think it was more of a 4-4-2. We had Momo Diaby in the middle. It was Momo, wasn't it? Diaby, right? I'm gonna ask you a question here, Blair, you know, because you look manly enough with your Stones Bitter sign in the background and your whiskies and whatnot. It's such a manly background.
I mean, all I do is drink beer and crush puss, so.
Yeah, that's what I thought. When you said crush puss, the cat jumped up behind you. Almost perfect comment timing. Now, Blair, you know, I'm going to ask you, is Momo the player that we thought he was going to be when he got injured? Because, you know, as Charlie rightly said all those months ago, she said a lot of our fans have got benchitis in terms of the fact that we seem to want in the player that isn't there. And then Momo's come in, and I don't really feel like he's made the shirt his own just yet.
Well, for whatever reason, he's not had the chance, has he? That was his first league start since Preston. Mm-hmm. So, but every time I've seen him, I've been really impressed with him. The reason why I love him, because he just doesn't leave that centre circle. He's just so disciplined to that centre defensive midfield role. He does have a little bit of a rick in him. I think against Coventry in the cup, he nearly gave it away outside our box for a goal. But then, like 2 seconds later, he did a marauding run. He can take the ball forward and carry it and get you out of danger because he's so big, and you can't really muscle him off the ball because he's such a big lad. Like if you're muscling him off the ball, you're fouling him because there's no way. Like your average midfielder is muscling him out. I really like him. I think I feel more reassured when he was stood there on Friday against Birmingham compared to last week where we had like no midfield. We just let people just run onto our defenders. That's what we're like. So
now Friday was a big day out for the Wednesday week because I think it was only me that wasn't there. I had to go to school, and I think everybody was there but me. So normally we do the TikTok, and I ask a couple of you to send me various little snapshot videos so I can make the TikTok video. I had 60 videos to edit in the end of it. My apologies if I didn't use them all, but Stevie, your daughter's now becoming an internet celebrity. But in terms of back on the lineup, last one, Stevie, I'm just going to pop this out before we continue to talk about it.
The rumour mill.
We've got Marvin Johnson back into the squad after his rumoured strop. Said he was injured, straight back in. He's the best cross of the ball we've got, isn't he?
100%. 100%. I think I mentioned in the chat earlier, was it me that shared the team of the week? And he's made the team of the week this week, and deservedly so. There are other players that played on Friday night that will get plaudits. Pervada, Ugbo's obviously scored a couple of goals. Beadle played well in goal, I thought. He quietly and unassumingly goes about his business. And I think he's kind of almost tarred with a little bit of the old League One Darren Moore inconsistency type brush, in the sense that people will remember things that he hasn't necessarily done well, and he didn't play well as a wing back at times, and when Moore played him as a left back, he deployed him in a different way, whereas I think we've found a formula with the guy that really works, and I think he's been one of our sort of most underrated players. So for that, I thought it was excellent. He crossed the ball well. The cross for the second goal, which we'll obviously get into, I thought was absolutely outstanding. So yeah, for me, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. I think he's going to be a player that's sorely missed. If we just go back to the comments, Ash's man in our socials. He's gone with "Have I missed anything?" Blair's already spilt the drink. We've had three cat appearances, and a lot going on. Ash, you know, we're all changing. Yeah, it's all a mess with you not here, pal. You know what I mean? And then former Wednesday Weeker Rich Davis has gone, having to explain to the kids who Jeremy Beadle was with pictures after the match was a highlight. So, you know, that's the thing that happened. And Simon, current Weeker, says we're looking good, guys. Just want to put that in just because I like a positive.
Just for Marvin Johnson, Dan.
Go on.
It's quite funny because last week, we was after the Huddersfield game, it was how poor a January transfer window was. Could you consider retaining Marvin Johnson's services? Actually, a highlight of the window, in some respect.
Absolutely. I think £1 million. You know, given the P&L that Kieran Maguire put out this week, in terms of our club's finance over the last 10 years, £1 million wouldn't touch the sides. Albeit, it's a decent amount of money for a player at our level, and it'd be nice to sell a player for some money. The last time we did it was Lucas Yao, and we got a ridiculous amount of money for him with the benefit of retrospect. But keeping Marvin Johnson, I think, is going to be inspired. And if he goes in the summer but helps us stay up, I'd be unhappy about it. But I'd be like, we've stayed up and we've kept him when we should have done. I'm not unhappy about it. Where do you sit with it, Charlie?
Yeah, I mean, I'll hold my hands up and say, I think Johnson was the origin of benchitis. Like, I was the one kind of been like, oh, because he's the one on the bench. Everyone thinks Marvin Johnson's going to be the saviour. And then, I bought into, the romance of his story of, oh, he was in Dubai and we have to bring him back. But, I don't think I was really giving him the credit he deserves. And I do think we're a different team with him in. And I think there's a lot to be said for, if he's a £1 million player, why not have a £1 million player play for you? I think if he'd have gone, and if he'd have gone for the money that that it was rumored to be, then fair enough. But then who is actually doing what he's doing? I don't think anyone. I don't think we get those crosses into the box. I don't think we see what he's doing anywhere else. And I think you can see how missed it is. So in which case, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million doesn't really matter if we've not got anything. That if he's the only person doing what he's doing, if he's filling that role, then I don't think it matters how much we could have made off him if we, if he's going to go do that for somebody else and leave us lacking. So yeah, I'm a fully paid up member of the Marvin Johnson fan club now.
Go on, Steve.
I was just going to say, I think that even less than the transfer fee, I think it's a testament that we're attracting the attention of a club that's pushing to get into the Premier League. Take the Ipswich out of it, and take the fact that they've done that while we've done that. The fact that there's a team pushing for the top end of the Championship, looking to get into the Premier League. I believe they're fourth tonight. They want one of our players who, we do respect, rightly or wrongly, we don't necessarily think is an asset, so to speak, in the sense of having everything that Charlie said. When we look at it, we're talking about your Cademartis, obviously, for the youth, and we're talking about your Bernards, and we're talking about Bannon and so forth, and people outside of Sheffield Wednesday supportership won't look at Johnson as being the best player. But he's been an absolute credit this season. Since he's come back in, I think he's been absolutely fantastic. I don't think £1 million was enough. I thought it wasn't a fair transfer, given that the status that we had or he had with us. I feel for him a little bit, in the sense that he was offered something that we haven't offered. He's, you know, he's been offered a big payday, and you know, at his age, he's probably not going to get another one of those. Certainly, if he goes for free this summer, he's not going to get a signing on fee in the same sense. I don't believe that he would have got if he'd have transferred across with everything that's gone in there. So it's a difficult situation for him that he finds himself in, because he's our player. We need him, but to that point that it's £1 million. £1 million is won't touch the sides if we stay up. That's going to be £1 million retained, if you like, and then some, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because of the money that we'll keep in terms of the money that we're going to get in terms of the Championship EFL TV rights.
Totally. Absolutely. He's worth more to us. He's worth more to us for goal contributions and crosses than he would be in cold, hard cash. So
yeah, it really is. It really is. Sorry, just a little bit of AV sweeping up. Does anybody get a bit of feedback when Stevie talks? Or is it just my earphones? I can't work it out. Are you guys all right? Does it keep cutting out as well? All right, turns out my earphones might need replacing. So, Blair, now you got yourself on the television. Holly's gone with Blair was on live TV talking about the shit show that Sheffield Wednesday just... And during that broadcast, Sheffield Wednesday were randomly announcing a new shirt sponsor as you were on telly talking about the protest. Let's talk about it.
That's absolutely fantastic, right? It can't get any better. My line on the TV, if anyone's didn't see it, was they said like,
whoa. My line on the TV, for those of you that didn't see it, are you coming through your agent tonight, by the way?
Yeah. Well, basically he asked like, is it more than just is the protest more than just because we're losing? Mm-hmm. And I said like, and I basically said like, if you just read out loud what's happened just this season, we'd run out of time on the segment. So I had 1:30. And it was just like, it was just ridiculous. Like, if you just read out loud what happened this season, what Chancery's done or what's happened at the club, and it is embarrassing. Every week you're getting a message off someone saying, have you seen what's happened now? And you're like, oh my God, aren't you? And it's like, and you almost like have to defend your club.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. I know what you mean. But let's talk about a protest before we get into the minutiae of it, Charlie. I need to be very clear on this. So I've been talking to Jim and Jake from the 1867 group, and I'm going to give them a bit of a platform to talk about, you know, what they're trying to achieve, and something felt like something shifted with the protest that happened. It didn't disrupt the football. A lot more people got involved with. They were happy with the way that they were protesting. And I need to be very careful to say as well, after I've been talking to these guys, I've realized that during that period where we were succeeding, they got accused a lot of going, we've noticed now you're quiet because the team's doing well. And I need to be very, you know, I need to make sure that I mentioned that the reason that they were quiet is that they made a point of being quiet. The results on the pitch didn't really affect what they were doing. And why they were doing it, they were just moving on to their next project and decided to keep the nut down up until the January transfer window had closed. And that's why they did it, because they wanted to see what Chancery would do with the season ticket prices, what, you know, see if we spent any money in the transfer window and things like that.
Receipts.
And then as a result, like a gift to them, Chaz, you can't pay by card to renew your season ticket. Like, you can't.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
it, Chaz.
This is it. And I think it's, I've absolutely, yeah, I got to give props to him. Like, you know, early on, they rightly had some criticism. And I think they responded to that criticism well overall. I think, you know, you absolutely have to recognize the protest on Friday showed that actually it's not two or three dissident voices. A lot of people, even people not holding up leaflets. I didn't get a leaflet. I managed to get one. But like, even those not holding leaflets, like the vast majority of people you speak to feel a certain way about things. And yeah, it's easy to sort of be like, oh, you know, it's only when we're losing, you're building off the negativity. And you go, well, yeah, that kind of makes sense to a certain extent though, because if the club's doing well, then there's less to be upset about. It doesn't change the fact of all the things that are going on underneath. But at the same time, if you're also trying to highlight things that are going wrong, the worst time to do that would be on the back of like three wins on the bounce and then being like, everything's terrible. People would be like, shut up. Of course, it's not what you're moaning about. Look where you could be. Oh, we're only third from bottom, second from bottom, whatever it is, kind of thing. Whereas actually, like, yeah, waiting, being like, go on then, Chancery, tie the noose, and he's like, I'll show you who's an idiot, and then becomes the greatest friggin' idiot of all time. It's like, well, yeah, but it legitimizes it, and it does. And I think, but what they have recognized is we all really give a shit about the club, and none of us want to be throwing things onto the pitch or storming the pitch or turning our backs on it in a way where it's like, oh, well, you never know, we might have won that match, but then this group did X, Y, and Z, and now, and now that's what sent us down, and giving anybody an opportunity to be a knob about it. It's like, actually, it was a very dignified, smart protest that got attention, got people talking about it, and then everyone shut up, got behind the team, and we won. And it's like, yeah, you've nailed that. Like, that, you've done exactly what you set out to do, and you've got to give them mad props for that, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's a lot better than the balloons, the tennis balls, all, you know, the marches. It was a good way of getting people involved. Now, Blair, I know you're just about to tack on to this point, but I just want to put up this point from Aisha right now. She said, our fan base seems a lot more reluctant to protest than many other fan bases, and I don't know why. That's an interesting question, because not everybody's quite on board. Now, Aisha, I'll be honest with you, I'm not quite there yet with doing a protest, and the reason being is, you know, I've watched a lot of football over the years, and what the internet needs is another middle-aged white man talking about his experiences with football, but I'm going to give it you right now. But, like, I don't disagree that there is a protest group. I don't disagree with it, and I completely understand why there is one, especially the area of the country that the club is in. I really understand why they're so pissed off at high shirt prices, high season tickets, high one-day match tickets, everything. Our loyalty has been rinsed, and that's why there's a protest group. Me personally, I feel that that when the protest first started, I'm coming round, don't get me wrong, because something does need to change, but I'm still in that camp. I'm still at this ridiculous thought at the back of my head that Chancery just might learn. And I believe that there's probably some things that down the road that are going to happen, and Chancery is going to do something stupid, just like that scene out of The Simpsons where they go, hold on a minute, he's going to do something stupid. I think that's going to happen, and then all of a sudden, I'm going to be in Team Chancery out. And the reason being, I'm just withholding it, just withholding my judgment right now, Aisha, in answer to your question, is that I've seen people get rid of their chairman. They've got him out. We've finally got rid of the geezer. And then the people that come in is either some skint consortium headed up by some nutcase who loves club, or it's going to be someone like that nutcase that they had in charge at Nottingham Forest. The one, you know, that one that had a picture made up for the back of his office with him and Brian Clough with his arm round him or something like that, right? Like, we know that Chancery's got money, but he's just not spending it in the right place or doing anything useful with it. I just wish he'd employ, you know, football people to run the club. Sorry, Blair, I completely cut you off. Do you still want to edge in on the protest chat?
It goes hand in hand together, doesn't it? Because at the end of the day, a team is never doing well on the pitch when boardroom level's doing crap. Do you know what I mean? I've never known if anyone can tell me a club that's doing well on the pitch, but the fans want the chairman out. You know what I mean? It doesn't exist. It's never existed. Maybe Barcelona, but you know, it's Barcelona. In terms of what you just said there as well, I completely agree with what you just said. And I think what these chairmen are, the problem they've got is that they're all multi-millionaire billionaires.
Yeah, they're not after feedback.
They've brought themselves out. They can buy themselves out of anything. They never experience failure because they can just buy it out. And the problem they've got now is, in football terms, the profit sustainability rules and the FFP rules, you can't buy yourself out of it. Once you're in the hole, like we're in the hole now, I don't know what happens. A new chairman comes in, he's still got the previous 3 years of books to adhere to for the FFP, hasn't he? So you can't just go, right, the previous 3 years haven't happened. We've had two seasons in League One, and if we stay up this season, we'll probably finish 21st in the Championship. That's 3 shit years of books.
Yeah.
With no income from a player sale. So yeah. Even if a new chairman came with me a shitload of money, he can't do much with it.
Can't do what we are. And you're right. You're right. But you know that Kieran Maguire. If you look at Kieran Maguire, his Price of Football tweet where he's put out some of the finances, it's absolute beggar's belief what we're spending on players in terms of wages. And the issue is because we've got so many average players, especially the ones we bloody signed in the summer, and then you know some existing ones in the squad that we're paying just to sit there and rot that we haven't named in the 23-man squad, like. I'm not surprised that the club's on its ass finance wise, and on top of that, we also got told by our exalted leader Chancery that that the money that we spend on match days and the money we pump into the club doesn't touch the sides and it's irrelevant. We have the fifth in the league biggest intake of money on match day per club, and absolute beggar's belief.
Stevie, 8.2 million, I think.
Yeah, Stevie. Have you got anything to add before we actually talk about football? Because I've just realised we've done half an hour and we've not really touched the sides on the Birmingham game.
No. I think you guys have covered everything particularly well. You've been very eloquent and articulate in the way that you've sort of covered that. And I'd only reiterate things that have already been said. The only thing I'd potentially say was that there did feel like a marked difference in the mm-hmm. protest on Friday compared to what had gone previously. And I'm not for a moment suggesting that I'm an advocate for 1867 or I'm against them necessarily. But what I would say is that the thing that riled me previously, not just the protest themselves, but the way that they held themselves publicly, the way that they formulated their communications, the way that they put things online, the way that they tweeted. I didn't necessarily think that was the best way of going about the way that they, you know, getting their message across. It felt a little bit knee-jerk, if you like. It felt a little bit, I'm going to do this because I'm really, really angry. It felt overly emotional in the things that they were saying and the way that they were putting their message across, whereas it did feel this time that they've clearly gone about with a plan. It was pre-thought. It was something that they've sat down.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We all know away days are mint, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. New in? Order now with the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. For more information, see mcdonalds.com. See you later.
And gone, right, this is what we're going to do. And I have to say, at the time, I didn't, because sitting in the ground, I don't know about Charlie and Blair on the cot, but where I sit, bang opposite the north, which, let's be right, is probably the most staunch and emotional sort of fan base. They're there. When I looked across, I didn't see until that moment that they walked out and they held them up. I didn't expect to see what I saw. And as you mm-hmm. panned around the ground, it wasn't a minority of people that were holding up those flyers. It was, there were lots of people doing it. It was a majority, a significant majority of people there were wanting to be heard and wanting to see and show their support. And I think that was really stark. I think that was something that the chairman, is going to have to pay mind to. And if I... I'm actually surprised that there's not been a response, because it's been 3 days now, and I don't know if he's still composing his email. But I would half expect that there will be something that will come back in retaliation.
He turned the scoreboard off, didn't he? So
you're against me.
Yeah, I'm not having that. You don't get to know what minute we're on. You're not going to get a pint on 38 minutes. But the irony, Stevie, that the 1867 group themselves took on a bit of feedback, changed their way forward, and actually got a really positive response from a lot of people. I hope you're listening, Mr. Chancery, because that's the way it's done, right? Yeah. Charlie, talk to me about the bloody football. Let's get into it. Let's talk about football. Come on.
I thought it was great. I mean, it was one of those where it's like Steve said, you don't want to call it a must-win match, but they're all must-win matches at this point. You know, they're all, and I think given that we've just had, I know one was a cup game, but like we just had such a battering, like we've just played terrible, you know, it was really miserable football, like Watford seemed like about 8 years away. So all you really just wanted to see was just a goddamn bit of life. And I really do think we had that. Like, I'm not saying we were outstanding from absolutely every minute, but you really just did not see that same kind of like sloppiness and kind of where are these goals going to come from. And I think overall, we were definitely the better team. I think like there were moments where Birmingham kind of picked up life that I was therefore very glad that we did have kind of Beadle doing what he did. But what was really nice is to just see that those lovely little bits of like partnership, like the Bannon and Johnson combo is just absolutely outstanding. Like that kind of mind readery, like little bits. Because I mean, Johnson, all the props for the cross, but like Bannon in the build up, like those lovely little bits there where they're just reading each other. And even if they don't always pop off, they're always there, they're always reading, like they're always just kind of seeing and thinking and like getting into that space. And it's great to see. Like, I thought we could have maybe potentially even had another one. Like I think we looked like scoring, and we finally actually started getting some goals in, and Ugbo finally scoring as well, I think, because you start thinking, Christ, why didn't we get a striker? Did we get a striker? I seem to remember us getting a striker. Where's the goals, kind of thing? And actually, and for him to get a brace like that, it's like, okay, maybe this is where it's coming from. Like, maybe this is what we can look forward to now. So yeah, I thought it was a really, really good start to our hopefully sensational return to form that will see us up.
Stevie, I'm going to talk about stats. You know, they 25 shots, Christ, but only 4 on target from Birmingham. They had a lot more possession. But to be fair, you know, this could tell a different story in the fact that they were losing and went for it. You know, there was a hairy time at the end of the first half where they had about 5 of those shots there and could have scored either one. Turns out they put the shoes on the right feet. Did you feel like we rode our luck a little bit, or did we deserve to win?
We deserve to win. I think Tony Mowbray's come out and he's given it a bit of the old. They were unlucky and we were very lucky. I don't think we were lucky at all. You know, our defenders defended better than they attacked at the end of the day. We've taken our chances when we've took them. We've gone in there with a game plan. And, you know, when we've been out of possession, we were compact, we set up, we made it difficult to play through at times, even though, and I know that sounds a bit perverse because they still had as many shots as they had, but those shots that they had weren't necessarily ones from consistently from areas of threat. They were pinging shots out at times, and they were, you know, they did have a lot of the ball, but at the same time, we surrendered possession or surrendered territory that kept them at bay. And I just think the way that we set up was absolutely spot on, and it needed to be that way after the Huddersfield game. It's been a while since we've played at Hillsborough and conceded that much possession. But, you know, at the end of the day, when we had the ball and what we did with the ball, I thought it was very, very good. We'll talk about players. Pavedu.
Jan
Pavedu. I'll get his name right. Pavedu was great. And do you know what? I wasn't convinced at the time when I looked at his stats, but Ugbo, I genuinely believe that Ugbo might end up being a little bit of a diamond as well, because the little bits that I've seen over the last 2-3 games, he's come on, he's had a couple of cameos, he's at the post a couple of times in previous games. I think he's been unfortunate in certain situations at team selection around him. Certainly at Huddersfield, he wasn't deployed in the same way with the same personnel. And you guys talked about Michael Smith last week. There's a big difference between the way that Cademartri sets up and the way that Smith sets up. And I think a player like Cademartri will complement Ugbo and allow him to do those little bits, because the movement is a bit better. And for that reason, I genuinely think, you know, we've seen 2 outstanding goals from the bloke on Friday. They weren't worldies from 30 yards, but the build-up play for the first goal was outstanding. And the header for the second goal, he jumps away. He's come down with snow on it. So he was absolutely brilliant.
with that second goal, I was actually shocked that he got away with it. I was actually, I thought they'd blow that up for a foul. I think in the Premier League, in Europe, that's a foul. And I think VAR had absolutely pulled that apart. I think we got.
I knew you'd say that. I knew you'd say that. You.
Long
you
live the championship.
EFL. EFL. EFL.
No one else on the earth has had that thought.
Shut up. Come on, man. I was sat there thinking he's going to pull that back. He's not going to let you have this one. But listen, Blair, I'm going to come to you. We've had a question here from, we've had a comment here from Barry. Barry's gone with the defence is still looking shaky at times. The heart stopping playing out from the back is heart in mouth time. Is that because we're just used to shitty long ball bollocks, or do you think that there is a rick in our defence?
I mean, I think it's a bit of both, isn't it? So they are a bit shaky because they know if they concede and where they are in the table, it's like, shit. And then we're not very good at coming back from when we go behind. So it will be a mentality thing. But the way they do constantly try and pass it out the back, I mean, Beadle was drawing their centre forward onto him just before he was releasing the ball. And he did it more than once. So it weren't like it was the first time. It was just him a bit of misconcentration, lapsing concentration. Mm-hmm. This is what Danny Rowe's telling him to do. And it does work. I mean, sometimes it looks amazing. You think how are you second bottom when you can do this sort of stuff? But I think it's more sometimes that they can feel the fans are, cause as fans we're on a knife edge, aren't we? We're so emotionally invested. So when the ball's anywhere near our goal, we're shitting it, aren't we? Because we just don't want to concede because we want to stay up so bad. So maybe it's a bit of that bleeding into it, but I think it's how down it Danny Rowe wants to play out of the back, and fair play.
Maybe. Now, listen, you guys were there on Friday, you know, consuming cream eggs, not you, Charlie, you know, you're a cream egg denier. And Holly's been on, and she's gone with half-term homework. Someone think of a song for Ugbo. Are we rehashing that Winnell Hot Stepper song, or are we going to come up with something totally camp? So macho, so Ugbo, something like that. I'm a big fan of a camp song. I think I tweeted on the night, Ugbo, you're in trouble. Icky's come along and scored a double. Yeah, yeah. I'd love to hear the cop singing that one. I'd be a big fan of that. And then in terms of comments, you know, there is nothing greater in the world than the YouTube comment section. So Hank's gone with Bannon MVP on Friday. Looked like a lefty Perlo out there. And then Sharma went, is Bazza a communist? So, you know, there's a lot going on there. There's a lot happening. And Aaron Johnson's gone with white cream eggs and a food of champions. So, you know, jot that down there, Charlie.
Unsure.
Jury's out. So, listen, you know, let's talk about your favourite players from that game, Charlie. You know, there was a big shouts for Johnson, Perveda, Perveda, Ugbo, Bannon. You know, a lot going on there. Even Beadle to some extent. What about you?
Me, I didn't play that well, but many of the names you just said were sensational. So, I did very little, but I tried my best. But Pavida, I've got it. Just I think there's something so. The worry with someone like Johnson as well is like you worry that he's been messed about a bit, or you worry that there's a bit of drama going on. So you see him play, and you see him play great, but you don't, you know, it's hard to gauge where he's at mentality wise, and like, is he going to literally throw his body on the line for this club? Is he really going to, you know, maybe I'm not saying he wouldn't, but like, you know, like Bannon would literally run his legs to water for like he loves this club, and you just saw this like passion from Pavida, like, and I think it was his birthday. I think I saw it on Instagram. It was his birthday as well. I was like, how nice is that? But like his reaction, it was like, it's not just the win, like it's the win being here and like going up to the cop and everything. And I think like I saw something in that where I was like, not only did he play fantastically, and he was, you know, absolutely outstanding, like some really nice little bits, you know, heavily, you know, great contribution to the first goal, was heavily involved in a lot of other really nice bits, but then that he's clearly like, this is great, you know what I mean, like this is this is great being here. You think, yeah, because you can't buy that. We've said that about Rule as well. Like that level of like someone that really gets why this is the shit. You're just like, yeah, you don't just want to necessarily just be another stepping stone for another player. And, you know, I just hope he doesn't break my heart like every other lone player we ever have where they go, do you like this, dear? Do you like this? Ta-ra. And then that's it. You never see him again. And you're just left staring at posters of them that you've made on your wall.
Well, buying the calendar.
It's
going to hurt that one. Now, just in terms of the Ugbo song, Liam's gone with Ugbo, do push pineapples these Wednesday to the tune of like a do, I assume. And Holly's just dismissed that as this is the worst thing ever. So, and then someone else has gone with AC/DC, you've been Ugbo struck to the tune of their Thunderstruck, sweet child of mine. And then Ash has been on Man in Our Socials, Blair, and I'll let you talk about your man of the match can we say man of the match, player of the match now, of the game. But no, Ash has gone with how refreshing it is to have a proper number 10. Granted, yeah, it's one game, but Pavila is what I've been missing for a while. You know, talk about it, Blair.
Well, I mean, Pavila was the best, was my player of the match. He was fantastic. He played with a smile on his face, and he just enjoyed playing football, didn't he? And it was just a joy to watch him run at the fences. And because they're Birmingham are similar to us, where if they concede a goal, they shit the bed as well. They were shitting it. So when he was running at them, they were shaky, weren't they? They were scared of him. And it's really
he played with a lot of confidence, like a kid on the park. Yeah, well, those little drag bikes, and
he's in a no lose situation, because if he has a great, you know what I mean, second half of the season, keeps us up, his agent will know what some of our big earners are on. So if we want to sign him permanently, he's going to get a huge pay rise. And if we go down, I'm sure someone will snap him up from Leeds, because he's surplus to requirements there. So he's in a no lose situation here. He can just come and enjoy his football, and hopefully he keeps us up. And I think he might do. It's just real shame, isn't it? But from a pride point of view, how far away we are from Leeds, but he can't even make their squad. And he's probably like our best player now.
Says a lot about the goal from parachute payments, doesn't it? Listen, Stevie, there's some love for Johnson going on in the comments here. So we've got Merrick's gone with, to be honest, Johnson always seems to play like he's about to flounce off at any moment. Looks a Mardy bugger, but I love him. Best crosser we've got. And then Barry's gone with Johnson loses the ball a lot. So, you know, apparently, where do you sit with Johnson? Like and then also we've had a comment here saying that Pavela's Forestieri like. So who played stuck like out him. To you on Friday?
Pavela.
Yeah.
I said earlier. I think Johnson flies under the radar because he does all the bits that he needs to do, and he does it well. And people will pick up on him. Oh, lost possession here or lost possession. And I can't remember a great deal of, you know, turnovers that he was responsible for. Yeah, every now and again you're going to get the game breaks down a little bit. We're bottom end championship, so that happens. But he's very effective when he has got the ball, and he creates a hell of a lot. From a left back position, for me, Marv's a great addition to the squad, and he's, you know, we've talked about it previously, but I just thought Pavada every time he got the ball on Friday night, he looked like he was going to do something with it. You know, he attacked, he was aggressive, and I've seen comments on socials, and I've seen comments in the press that he looked a little bit lightweight and got knocked off the ball a little bit. I didn't necessarily subscribe to that. At the time, yeah, there were times where he might have lost a tackle here or there, but I think he's boxy, he's compact, he's good on both sides. He got us up the pitch. The contribution for the first goal was absolutely incredible. So for me, yeah, he was a standout player. I thought Beadle acquitted himself well, and if I'm honest with you, I'm still not sold on the bloke, and I think I've said previously. I don't see that he's a player that we've brought in that's going to be significantly better than Dawson or Charles. And we've got cover there already. But fair play to the guy on Friday. And if he puts in performance after performance for the second half of the season like that, then, you know, more power to him. So yeah, the standout for me was Pervader. I thought Marv did well, and I also thought Beadle played well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, in terms of the song for Pervader, Blair's just chucked in our private chat, "Living Pervader Loca," which I'm not unhappy about, if I'm honest, but I would enjoy the cop and the South Stand going, "Walk up in New York City in a funky cheap hotel." I would pay money for that. And then, Ash is getting jibes in about Liam Palmer. And then, as a big twist of fate, lot going on,
what?
Lot happening. Sheffield Wednesday's winning, and Ash is agreeing with Stevie regards Beadle. So that's never happened. Can we jot this down? 12th of February, Gromit's birthday.
8:47.
Yeah. And then, bear in mind, Barry's made a good point that Pervader's not actually up to full match fitness either, so it could get even better. Now, I want your comments as well in reference to this upcoming game on Tuesday. It's going to be quite difficult. There is a wonderful Twitter X account called "Has the 9-0 been mentioned yet?" And I feel like it's going to rear its head over the next day. Because I think, having spoke to a couple of Leicester City podcasts last night, I feel like a cricket score is on the way. Charlie, what do you think? Well, you know, we've got to win, and we do have to play these bloody teams. And I agree with Craig. I would take a point now.
Oh my God, absolutely! I think the difficulty is as well is that it's obviously not our first time playing them this season, and had they battered us before, you'd be like, oh God, here it comes again. I think whether or not we're a better team now than we were when we first played them, they are definitely a better team now, if that makes sense. Like, they, you know, not that they were, like, they were poor when they played us. It said more to them being poor than us being absolutely outstanding on that particular game. But I think it's an absolutely ridiculous number, the points they're on, games played. I literally can't even remember what it was, but I think I saw one of their tweets and it's just like unbelievable. And I think, like, mentality wise, they're playing off that, and maybe they also potentially have a tiny little bit of a point to prove. Like, it means nothing to them, but like, out of everyone that they've battered this season, like, we managed to like nick a draw back off them. So I don't know, they'll probably go all guns blazing. My biggest concern is I don't know if we can hold off defensively, and I think the first goal, if they get the first goal they get against us, I think we will fall apart. And I think it would just be nice to see us not absolutely get battered. Like, obviously a draw would be like a win for a game that in many ways is almost a free hit, if you can call any of these like last 15 a free hit. But it would just be nice not to see us get absolutely battered. Like, if we're gonna lose, can we at least just lose by like maybe one? Like, that would be nice. Like, if it's 4-0 again, like, Jesus Christ Almighty, like, that would be. That number is starting to trigger me now. Like,
yeah. Conceding four goals away from home is is something
the Wednesday
I don't.
Way.
It is the Wednesday way. I can't speak about it. Bledinho, Blair Hard Ankles. What about you?
Blair Hard Ankles.
He is not Blair Dino. Trust me, he is not Blair Dino.
Wow.
Wait, you say that I've got a Brazilian flair when I play football?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying, Blair.
Can't believe it. This is Sean Clare all over again. This is Sean Flair. Anyway.
Sorry, mate.
No, it's funny. We need, there's 15 games left. We need at least 50 points guaranteed survival. We're not going to get 50 points because we need seven wins to get 49 points. So, and we've won seven games all season. So we've got 15 games left. We've got seven. We need seven wins to guarantee survival, I'd probably say. So let's chalk tomorrow off. That'd be 14. It'd be 14 games. We need seven. I really think it's either we're going to get absolutely tonked. I'll take a 1-0 loss. We're going to lose.
can I just say something on that? And this is my big my big frustration. And as much as me and Blair get on, and we do, you don't half wind me up when you start banging on about, oh, if we don't win this, we're down. You've been saying that since start of the season. If we don't win this game, October, we don't win this game, we're down. This is a must-win game. That's a must-win game.
Well, we might be down. If we won that game in October, we'd be 3 points better off now.
Yeah, we would. But if it swings and roundabouts, it's all, you know, it does. The what's, whys, and wherefores are what they are. We were 2 weeks ago, we were within a shout of getting out of the relegation zone. And all right, Huddersfield's absolutely killed us. That's absolutely killed us. Not necessarily in terms of where we are in the league, but in terms of the morale and the fact that it was a team that was around us. That's what was difficult to take. And, you know, their record and the first half performance against against Huddersfield wasn't actually that bad. Do you know what I mean?
The floodgates opened and we just lost our heads.
We had 12 minutes where we just went, right, that's it. The first goal went in and it was just, it was a car crash. It was awful. We're not focusing on that. We're not looking back on that. I was, I'm blessed that I'm on half term this week. And I woke up this morning and watched Bosnich on Sky Sports News. And I wasn't paying attention. It was just background. But he was looking at the Man United game. And they were analysing the Villa win yesterday. And they were talking about the opportunity that they'd have to get into the Champions League or to get up the league. And they were talking about an 8-point deficit. And he turned around and said, 8 points is nothing at this stage of the season because you just need a little bit of luck.
And it is nothing at that end of the league, though. Like, it's easy in the top eight to go, we only need 8-9 points. I feel like when you're down, when you're at the bottom, all of a sudden your football turns into like a comedy of errors. Look at that goal that Rotherham conceded against Leeds United, right? So you've got, the cross has gone in, it's come off a geezer's foot, bounced towards his own goal, come off of Bamford's arm and gone in the net, and you're like, Christ. Yeah. And all of a sudden those things happen when you're at the bottom of the league and you don't get a rub of the green.
Listen, we're going to agree or we're going to disagree. And for me, I'm going to cling on to the fact whether you're top of the Prem, you fight for the Championship, or your Forest Green Rovers, 8 points is 8 points at the end of the day, isn't it? And if all we need is a swing, and the, you know, to bring it back to tomorrow night, whatever happens tomorrow night, I just hope that it's not so bad that the internet loses its head. And I hope it's not so bad that, you know, people are there.
The internet's going to absolutely go. You have been on the internet. You have seen it.
dear internet, don't lose your head. We're probably not going to win tomorrow night. But if we, anything that we get out of the game would be a bonus. But if we lose 3-0 against the best team the Championship's seen in however many years, so be it. Well, you know, let's focus on Millwall away. Let's focus on Bristol City, Plymouth. You know, we're talking about our home form. We have got Leeds on the horizon, and they, you know, we'll get to that game and we'll probably say, well, we've got a point away at theirs.
Yeah, the ironic thing is that these Leicester and Leeds, who are top of the league, these are both teams that we managed to get a point against.
That's always the way, isn't it? That I think that's what's, it's like you would, if Leicester beat us 9-0, but we'd have beaten Huddersfield 1-0, you'd be literally looking at a different... Do you know what I mean? I know it's so easy to say that, but it's like, it is all down to the mentality. And I think the internet losing their shit is like an absolute given. And I think we're, you know, someone's just said in the comments, like, remember Peterborough? And you go, yeah, absolutely. Like, we know that things can happen. Anything can happen. Football's crazy. It's a crazy league. But at the same time, it's like, there does seem to be this self-fulfilling prophecy of like Wednesday, just Wednesday in it. And it's... You know, it's so much harder to take when it's something that, you know, you should have won, you could have won, you had every minute, you know, you had every possibility to win it. But I think we really, when you're playing Leicester, even if we get absolutely battered, we really do need to try and just be like, okay, then that is fair enough. Like, if people feel better, they can moan about Huddersfield again if it would make them feel better. But I think moaning about like getting beaten by just a sensational team like that, it's like, that is just what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Sharman's pulled out a good point here. You know, notably Stoke all of a sudden found themselves in that quagmire. Birmingham are sliding towards it. And Sharman said, hey, other teams are sliding towards us. If we can keep picking up a point here and there, it's the hope that kills you. And And the Wednesday week's very own Holly, who's known for, you know, for being quite a reasonable person and in no way quite dramatic, has just gone, it's over. She's oh. And then a couple of cry face emojis, which is very uncharacteristic of Holly, I must say. But like Hank's gone with 2 points off safety after tomorrow, and Ash has doubled down and said that's a spirit, Hank. I'm all right with that. I like that gritty bottom stiff.
I suppose when teams are on that proverbial the proverbial beach, when the mid table teams are going to play in April, who can't go up can't go down, we might get a result here and there, but at the moment it is. 15 games left. We need 7 wins to guarantee survival.
No, we don't. We don't. We don't. Blair, we don't. We need to overhaul the deficit that we've got with the team on 21st. If that means that we win 5 games before the end of the season and the teams above us lose. So we need to stop going. If we haven't won 4 games by this point, we're down. If we haven't got this many points by this point, we're down. Because as people in the comments have just said, was it Sharman has just said, those teams are called Stoke are in free fall at the moment. What is the point in us turning up tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, whenever? What?
Stoke have a gap. If Stoke just fluke a win,
I'm using Stoke as an example. What I'm saying is that there's a volatility in the league table, so it might not take 7 points. There's a team might stay up on 42 points. I'm, you know, without looking at the points in the league, that might happen. We're saying based on form, 7 wins gets us this many points, and this many points is what we need to stay up. How can we possibly forecast how many points we need to stay up this season? Because Rotherham have been absolutely shy, and I'll say that. Our point level at the moment is absolutely horrific. QPR and Huddersfield 3 weeks ago were absolutely toilet in terms of the league stats, but teams are falling, teams are dropping. You know, let's not worry about how many points we need. Let's just worry about what the league looks like Saturday at 5 o'clock. Exactly. So how many points we need is how we get. If we stay up, whether it be 4 wins, whether it be 6 wins, we've won more. We've won as many or just one less than teams that are up at like 18th, 17th. You know, we're there or thereabouts with it. So, you know, let's stop stressing about history. Exactly. If the playoffs last season.
Before, haven't we? Yeah. We've proved that before. Like, we did something that no one else had ever done. Like, genuinely. Like, I know that's one match and that's one example, but like, until it is mathematically impossible, it's still possible, which definitely is the most painful thing about it. But that you cannot overstate like the difference in mentality. I was like, if the fan just blindly, it's like running around Hillsborough at second leg, blind faith, go on, why not, let's have it, even though like really you're gonna get 4 goals in 90 minutes, yeah, fuck it, why not, yeah, fuck it, we're gonna get 1 million points and we're gonna stay up, long live the Championship Owls, who cares? Like, because then if we go down, it's like, oh, did we go down like we thought we were gonna do? And if we then stay up, it's like, yeah, never doubted it, it's all good, like happy days.
Fair enough. Well, let's just hope we get to the end of the season and we're still playing Championship football for Chancery to rinse us out once again as we stay up. Don't forget, we're still in the middle of the second phase of the season tickets. And make sure you bring your checkbook from the bottom of the drawer. Listen, thanks a lot for joining us this evening. That's us tonight. Thank you so much for taking part. Really appreciate the comments getting involved. See you later.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
It's a goal! What a goal! It's absolutely world-class from Marcus Tunde!
Johnson puts it in the air! Aidan Flynn wins the goal!
It's
the goal!
It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw him. Is it going to be there?
Yes! Yes!
Oh, my God!
The Wednesday Wake!
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Back of the net, Le Bosch. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later!
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.